Let me begin by giving everyone a welcome and express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So thank you for your attendance. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. Many times I ask my brethren to look around. Please share if you see someone that did not receive one, if they'd like to follow along with the lesson this morning. Sometimes people ask when they visit our assembly or they're not familiar with Churches of Christ, at the close of every lesson, we extend what I call an invitation, and we sing a song of exhortation or a song of encouragement. It's designed to support you, if you have not done so already, to become a Christian, to obey the gospel. Sometimes people wonder why we do that, or why I would do that. And so the lesson this morning is designed to give you a little bit more information than just a casual statement or two on why we do that invitation at the close of a lesson. It has to do with the words that were read to us this morning. And so in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus spoke to them, and you can see in your outline the major headings, or the four major headings from the text. Jesus, first of all, says, he makes a great claim, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He has all the authority. He's not delegated to anyone else. And we cannot usurp that authority. He has it all. Second, we note in this great commission, we call it great because it's a great commission. It's one that goes into all the world, and that's the next phrase of the verse. Make disciples of all the nations, and then baptizing them. And this particular commission is found not only in Matthew, but also Mark and Luke. In the closing chapters and the closing verses. And also we note then, also in the middle of point number two, I make reference to Luke's account. And we tie that in not only with the text today, but also its fulfillment. Because Jesus is giving them a commission, this is what I want you to do. And sometimes people might wonder, scratch their head, I wonder if they ever did that. So we're going to answer that in our lesson this morning. The next one, number three, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. So not only there is there a primary teaching of spreading the gospel, the good news of salvation, but there's a continual teaching that needs to continue, to go on. And then the last one, words of great comfort, lo, I'm with you always. So this commission, this great, we call it great commission, it's our duty assignment. It's our obligation. It's our task. And so it's very important. And this commission of Jesus are his farewell words. He's been on the earth 40 days after his resurrection. And these words are given right before his ascension back to the Father. And many times we think of someone's last words being very significant. And when someone passes or leaves us, we want to know what were the last things they may have said. We want to cherish those last words. Well, these are the last words of Jesus. His farewell statement. Almost, Jesus, if you could say anything else to your followers, to your disciples, what would you say? And that's what's recorded here. So they're important. And we call them great because I think, you know, they're exceptional. They're beyond mere words. They're above the normal. So they're important. So let's take a look at these. Number one, a great claim. And this message is emphasized throughout the New Testament. And so I just listed these in your notes. Just to highlight the importance of Jesus making a great claim, all authority has been given to me. I have all the authority. When he was transfigured on the mountain, Matthew 17, the voice came out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Listen to what Jesus has to say. The Hebrew writer refers to God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past by the to the fathers by the prophets. Yeah. But then the Hebrew writer adds, "But in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things." So what the Son says is important. There's some significance attached to it. In Paul, in writing to the brethren at Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 1, says, "God raised him," meaning Jesus, "raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand, and is far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named." So Jesus has some significance in that authority, that position. God gave him head over all things to the church, which is his body, and that's us. If we're going to appeal to an authority for why we do what we do, we don't go to the committee, we don't go to the council, we don't go to an earthly headquarters, we don't go to the majority rule. We don't ask others, how do you think we should worship? How do you think we should have our sins forgiven? We go to the highest authority that God has installed, Jesus, his Son. That's a great claim. You can't misunderstand that. All, not some, not a little bit, all authority has been given to me. You can't misunderstand it. Jesus never delegated that authority to any body, any group, any council. I wish I could just get that point pressed into people. Jesus has it all. It all. If someone violates or transgresses that authority, they're out of place. They don't have authority to change Jesus' authority. It's a great claim. All authority. That excludes all other authorities. No matter what that earthly authority says, they don't have the authority to claim authority. It's a simple thing. I'm going to go on number two. All right. Press up. Number two is a great commission, a great charge. Kind of like our job description. Make disciples of all the nations. How are we going to do that? Is there a plan? Is there a formula? Are there steps to follow? Make disciples, baptizing them. And here's our authority again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you are a disciple, by definition, even in your notes, that means you're a learner, a pupil, a follower of one's teaching. Some of you would become an imitator of the master teacher. So here we are, as if we are disciples, we are Christians, we are following the words of Jesus. He has all the authority. We sit at his feet. We lift him up and we want to listen to what he has to say. And we follow that. We are a disciple of the master, the teacher. And then he said, make disciples of all the nations. When Mark records these last words of Jesus, he says, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to everyone. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. The words of the master teacher. So the commission is worldwide to all the people. So now we have that phrase, baptizing them. So I put in your notes that Luke, who wrote his gospel, records this commission, but he also gives us some added information. So I put in your notes what Luke said, and then in the book of Acts, Luke also wrote the book of Acts, we see its fulfillment. We see where these last words of Jesus take place, were actually put into practice. Now here's how Luke finishes his gospel and when he records Jesus' last words. Luke 24 says, then he, meaning Jesus, them, thus it is written, and thus it's necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And here are these final words too, that repentance and remission, now you kind of count these out. I want repentance, Jesus said, and remission of sins preached in my name beginning at Jerusalem. About five things right there. And then he says, you are witnesses of these things, the writer Luke continues. I promise of my Father to you. But I want you to tarry in Jerusalem. So here's another thing, six things. Until you're endued with power from on high. About seven particulars that Jesus mentions in this charge or commandment. And then it says he led them out as far as Bethany, blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. His last words before he ascended to the Father. Luke records this commission. And then Luke, who is the author of Acts, also tells us, here's its completion. So Luke, and I put these listed in your notes. Luke 24, verse 47, remember Jesus said, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name. Well, in Acts chapter 2, when on the day of Pentecost, when there's devout Jews from every nation gathered in that city to observe the feast, Peter stands up with the 11 and he preaches unto them. He's convinced them in Acts 2, verse 37, that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And this, and when they heard that, they're cut to the heart. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. In that single verse, five of the ingredients or the requests in Jesus' last words are answered. Jesus said, I want repentance, remission of sins, preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. Repent. Peter, stand up with us, preached, and be baptized. Every one of you, the authority, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Wow. So we know when that took place. And then we find second, in Luke 24, verse 47, all the nations, well, Acts 2, verse 5, there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. In Luke 24, verse 47, Jesus said, I want this preaching begun in Jerusalem. The Father, they go back to the city from Bethany, just a short distance away. They return to Jerusalem. And then Luke said in Luke 24, verse 49, I'll send the promise of my Father upon you, recording the words of Jesus. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Well, did that take place too? In Acts chapter 2, verse 1. In fact, Acts chapter 1, Luke records the ascension of Jesus back to the Father. 40 days after his resurrection. And then 10 days passed for this feast of Pentecost, which means 50 days after the Passover. So they're in the disciples are in the right place at the right time, meeting all of the requirements that Jesus gave in these last words. So Acts 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rush where they were sitting. Appeared to them, divided tongues as of fire. Sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were, as Jesus' last words were, wait here until you are endowed with power from on high. It matched. You see, every requirement that Jesus made, that Luke records, in those last words, I want repentance, remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. Wait in the city until you receive power from on high. And it's answered right there. Mission. We don't have to scratch our heads and wonder, I wonder if they ever completed that. Or when did they start doing all of that that Jesus requested? Right there in Acts chapter 1. Number three, and you know, it's another great charge after that great commission. He adds to it, I want you to teach those who become disciples, are baptized for remission of sins. Because when Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, you know, the phrase is, after he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. He mentioned to them, because to you is the promise. And to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he testified, and he exhorted themselves, save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And then that verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. So when they obeyed that initial command, that charge, repent and be baptized, they didn't say, okay, that's plenty, I'm finished. No, now they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. And that's what Jesus said, I want you to do. I want you to observe all things. Teach those who become disciples. I've said. And we're encouraged to do the same. When you're baptized, you don't stop the progress. You don't say, that's enough, God. God, I think I've completed the task. Now I'm on your side. No. Well, now we need to grow. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, since you purified your souls in obeying the truth, you did what you said. He said, now I want you to love one another with a pure heart. And having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. So now we want to continue in that word. There's more to do. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And there's more. 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, I want you to add these things to your faith. And he begins that list. There's more than just being baptized. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, pledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grow. The newspapers years ago, the day someone wrote to Dear Abby. I cut this one out because of the request. Someone said, Dear Abby, I recently had a child. I would like to join a church for the community. The messages and the music. I grew up going to one. Got a lot out of it. However, exploration throughout my 20s made me realize I didn't believe what was being taught. I tried hard to accept the doctrine, but truthfully, I doubt I ever will. Would I be dishonest to start attending again? What would you tell someone? Asked that. You know, I was raised in the church. I kind of departed in my 20s. I thought, you think it's okay to go back? She titled it New Mom. That was her sign off. So Dear Abby says, Dear New Mom. Well, I hope Abby answers with the words of Jesus. Don't get your hopes up. Oh, Dear Abby. Why don't you tell her what Jesus said? But Dear Abby said, many people consider themselves to be more spiritual than religious. I want you to be both. You can be spiritual and be religious. to be one or the other. Be both. The people consider themselves to be more spiritual than religious. And then Abby continues, I'm willing to bet that in many congregations there's a range in the intensity of belief among the attendees. Well, that's probably true because of maturity and growth. But then she says, oh dear Abby, I encourage you to select the denomination in which you feel most comfortable. What did Jesus say? Oh. If dear Abby said it, it must be true. I'm sure I can find, select a congregation where, or a church where you feel most comfortable. Not in the book. Choose a congregation where you feel most comfortable, or a doctrine. Not in there. Jesus never said that. Attend the church of your choice. That's an American phrase. It's not a biblical phrase. Oh, dear Abby. Dear Abby. Choose, select a denomination with which you feel most comfortable. No, dear Abby, she said, I want you to choose a church and faith that's approved by God. I want you to know, dear Abby, is not the authority. Not the authority in religion, not the authority in spirituality. And by the way, neither is Dr. Phil and Oprah. They're not your authority in religious matters. Then the last phrase Abby used. Some, like the Unitarian Universalist faith, have no dogma or creed, and support their members in following their own spiritual paths. No dogma, no creed. All right, Jesus, do you ever say that? It doesn't matter what you believe. Jesus, do you ever say, don't have a dogma or creed or doctrine? It must be in there because dear Abby said it. Not this. Choose a, like the Unitarian Universalists, who support their members in following their own spiritual path. Jesus didn't commission people, go out and find people and tell them, choose your own way. No, Jesus said in his last words, make disciples of all nations. He didn't say, choose your own pathway. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to leave it up to you how you want to worship. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, go tell all the people they can have it, a Burger King religion. Have it your way. You hold the pickles. You remember that commercial? Hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. Special orders upset God. Oh, dear Abby. The last one, I have a great comfort. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So there's a personal presence. Jesus said, I'm with you. There's an abiding presence. He said, always. Well, that separates Jesus from all other religious leaders. Jesus said, I'm with you always. No one else can make that claim, truthfully. And then there's a victorious presence. I'm with you to the end of the age. It's me. I'm with you all the way. So I just put in the end of your notes, ask you a question. Will you be a disciple of Jesus, Jesus' way? Will you do it His way? So we mentioned at the beginning, at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. It's kind of a song of a pleading. If there's one here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church, you're not a disciple, you're not a Christian, you need to follow the pattern or the plan that Jesus gave in his last words, repent and be baptized. So that's the invitation we extend to everyone. No one's excluded. If you're to that, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply come and have a seat beside me when we're singing this song. just let your resolve or your desire to be known. And like when you get here, at the close of the song, I'll just simply ask you, what's on your mind? And your answer would be, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. That's what I want to hear. Or I want, Brian, I want to ask prayers from the congregation for a situation in my life. We can answer that. So let's stand together as we sing this invitation, exhortation. You're subject to it, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, then let it be known. Please do so while we're singing this song together.
Would you all please bow as we go to our Heavenly Father? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed morning, for a wonderful way to start our week. We thank you for each and every soul that's here, those that are members and those that are visiting, for the edifying power that they bring, each and every one, to those who are sitting around them. We're always strengthened when we're together in one purpose, and that's to get to heaven, to help others that were around to do the same. We ask that you'd be with us, that you would guide, guard, and direct us in this upcoming week. You would have mercy on souls, and you would help those that are suffering affliction, whether it be physical or spiritual, and the family members of those and their friends. Just help us all to realize that any true healing and any everlasting life has to be focused on you and on Jesus, and to be guided by the Spirit. We pray that you'd forgive us of our sins and that you would help us to learn from our mistakes. We pray that you would continue to bless us until you come back to get us, to take us home. We ask you'd please grant us wisdom. We pray for wisdom for our leaders. We pray that you'd protect our servicemen and women, our border patrols and police officers and their families. And we pray that that as a nation, we would continue to try to turn things around. Help us to realize that if we're not part of the solution, it's a pretty good chance we're part of the problem. Help us to always look to do what is right and good in thy sight, and not to just keep our mouths shut when evil abounds, when good men do nothing. We pray that we'd be part of that which would ultimately lead to salvation for ourselves and others. Please be with us, guide, guard, and direct us. Thank you for all you do for us, in Jesus' holy name.